a lot of people don't excel in the beginning because they have reluctance, meaning they have call reluctance. And that's just natural. When you get into anything new, you're not going to be good at it. And you're going to be reluctant to do it in general, but also do it in front of other people. And unfortunately, when you're trying to grow a business, specifically a sales business, you are putting yourself out there. So just know that you're not alone with that, and that you really just want to focus mainly on the skills in the beginning and the mindset. And that reluctance will subside. And the more it subsides, the more willing you are to put yourself out there, and your business will grow. And surround yourself by a supportive team or individuals or a safe space where you guys are doing that together.
Yes, welcome back, real estate rock stars. I'm Shelby Johnson, and today we have Alan Stewart in the house. He is out of Fairfield / New Haven County in Connecticut. He's been an agent for 8 years and now leads a team of 9 agents. And in his best 12-month period, closed 132 units by himself, in addition to leading the team who, you know, went on to close 275. So a little bit of a top performer here with us today. And we're going to get to go deep on philosophy behind real estate and the activities we do and prospecting. But before we do, Alan, welcome. And will you share with us a little bit about yourself and your story?
Awesome. Yeah. So as you said, I'm out in Fairfield County in Connecticut. I'm pretty much born and raised here and super excited to be with you. Like I said to you before, I've watched you a few times and I think we vibrate at the same frequency. So I'm excited to share this space with you and this time with you. You know, I've been in real estate for 8 years and I'm a father. I have primary custody of my son. So not only am I a business owner and a producer that owns other companies as well, but I'm a really dedicated father. So I have to have a lot of time allocated to that as well. So real estate gives me that vehicle to be a great father.
For sure. And so why real estate?
Actually, I believe that real estate, unless you're coming from a lineage of real estate where your parents are in it and you're not introduced to it, it's usually a secondary career. And that's what it was for me. I was doing sales prior to this in the fitness industry. And although I was excelling and I was climbing up their corporate ladder, there was something just missing. That why was missing. And even though my future looked very bright, I just didn't want to sit behind a desk the whole time. And I sold my now partner a gym membership. He had no intention of buying at all. And he left, his whole family left with the membership. He called me like 2 weeks later and was like, "You're one of the best salesmen I've ever met. You need to come work for me." He was in mortgages. And I just said, "I don't want to trade my desk for yours." So then he introduced me to somebody else who I was supposed to have a 20-minute conversation with. It ended up being a 2-hour conversation. And when I say that this guy was an authority in a space, meaning he knew more about his industry than anybody I've ever met, I immediately identified this is somebody that I want to emulate and work for. So I quit my job, signed up for the class, and started making substantially less money in order to working towards my license. So that's how I got into this space.
Who's the guy? Who is the guy who changed the game for you?
Okay. So my original mentor, because I do believe on mentorship, you know, we should model people that are successful for us. And that being said, we don't model everyone encompassing for everything. And I want to give a quick example before I give this guy's name. But for example, my mom, if you want to learn how to be a servant and give the shirt off your back and be caring and dedicated and giving and a hard worker, that's who you go to. But you don't go to my mom for financial advice. So we need our sounding boards. We need our mentors, but we need to be specific as to what category in our life we're seeking that mentorship. So this guy, his name is Michael Barbaro, and he's actually, he's very involved with leadership here in Connecticut. He owns a small brokerage, and I originally hung my license under him before venturing out and starting my own company.
Okay, gotcha. So this makes sense. You were in sales, you crushed it in the sales piece, and then you started looking ahead and you're like, "Man, do I want to work for someone else and be behind a desk for the rest of my life? Probably not." And then you stumbled into this conversation with someone who kind of shook the energy right into you, and that kind of took off the real estate piece of your business. Is that right?
That is exactly right. And if you'll entertain me for a second, when I first got in, because my original mentor was very involved in leadership, and when I mean leadership, I mean the associations, the MLS boards, I was allowed to be exposed to that. So I started coming around the boards a lot, and I started ingesting a lot of information. But then I got a platform to speak on, and I started asking questions and started realizing, you know, why people get into real estate, what are the best practices very quickly. And it allowed me to kind of model those things and kind of get into this vehicle and go move very fast.
And before we hit record, we were talking a little bit about why and why it's so important to identify your why. So will you tell us a little bit about your philosophy on that?
Yeah. So like I said, I've had a couple of platforms. I'm a speaker around the state of Connecticut, and I've actually flown around the country a few times to speak about real estate. And I usually ask the same question that you just asked, you know, why did you get into real estate? And I pretty much can categorize the thousands of people I've asked that question into three buckets. And usually it's all three buckets, but emphasized in one area. And number one is realtors typically have the heart of a servant. And what I mean by that, there's nothing more rewarding than sliding the keys across the desk to a first-time home buyer or helping a seller get out of a sticky situation, whether they're downsizing and getting out of a toxic relationship or upsizing and just growing their family. So heart of a servant is definitely a huge why. And that's why people get into real estate, because we can exercise that heart very much. But then a second component is a lot of people get into real estate because it's a fast-moving vehicle and they want financial freedom. And they see that this is a quick way that they can establish that, because, I mean, we've all heard the saying, 9 out of 10 real estate agents, where do they make all their money? I'm 9 out of 10 millionaires, where do they make all their money? They make it in real estate. So that's a big reason why. And then the third one is a lot of people look at real estate, and I did myself as well, working for someone else, and they want freedom of schedule. They want to dictate who do I work with and when do I work. The joke's on us, though, is we don't really get to pick the last two in the beginning. We work all the time, and then we start developing systems and processes and hopefully start to, you know, gain a little more control. But usually that heart of a servant is what lets us endure past the lack of money and lack of time in the beginning.
So for you, is it number three?
So I would say that's my biggest why right now, is the freedom of schedule. Being, as I said to you, I'm a father, and my father growing up, he really wasn't around that much. So being a very present father is extremely a big why for me. And it's not just about the quantity of time I spend with my son, but the quality of time. So that's why I had to really figure out systems, processes, delegation, things like that. So when I'm with my son, I'm with my son, and I'm not taking calls and saying, hold on, son, I got to take this for a minute, because then I'm subconsciously indicating to him, hey, you're important to me, but just not as important as this call, because he doesn't understand that this call provides his baseball games, his soccer tryouts, all those type of things. But in the beginning, really what it was, to be completely honest, was the coin operate. I was very coin operated. I wanted financial freedom, and that's what like brought me to this.
Oh, totally. I mean, me too. That for those of you who haven't listened to podcasts of mine that I've been interviewed, it's, you know, I was in the Army and I looked ahead and I saw that my next 15 years were completely sketched out for me. And I was going to be doing these positions at this time and my life would look like this. And everyone ahead of me looked miserable. And so I was more interested in real estate investing, actually, because I was like, how can I, you know, find something that makes money for me while I sleep? And then the real estate license that came secondary as a means to expedite my active income. Like, how can I make a lot of money as quickly as possible? And then, of course, the freedom of schedule also was a big factor. But you know, you're sitting there listening to this podcast hypothetically, and you're like, dude, Alan is at these games with his son or whatever, and he's getting these calls right now in my business. I'm not getting any calls. So Alan, can we talk about how you work with your prospecting?
Yeah, exactly. No, if again, you'll entertain me for a second. Can I reverse engineer it for you? Because
Alan, you can do whatever you want. This is your show.
All right. Awesome. It's your show. I'm just a humble servant.
It's actually so Aaron's show. Aaron and Mucci City, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get back to the episode, two things I wanted to share. First, thank you so much for tuning in week after week. It really means the world to all of us. Second, we feel like we're just getting started. If you enjoy what we do here, please follow us on this app, share an episode, or give us a quick review. I promise we're working hard behind the scenes to make this show as good as possible now and into the future. Thanks, guys. Back to the show.
So Yeah, we'll get into prospecting, but we have to understand, again, the why of the prospecting. And I feel like a lot of people, we get into real estate for one of those three or all of those three reasons. And we have to find a barometer to find out if we're successful or not. And this is where I feel like most new real estate agents fail, is they enter in with the wrong mindset. And what I mean by that is they use a barometer of closings to depict whether to they're successful or not. And they say, if I move this amount of units a year or this amount of volume a year, I'll be happy with my year's production. And I think that we need to change that. And we need to understand that the close is for the client. It's not for the commission. And also, that's a poor barometer to measure our success, because if that's the only tool that we're using to find out if we're successful or not, then we're most likely going to run out of gas before we even get to the closing table. That's why I developed the six major milestones, and I reverse engineer it. And I just kind of say, okay, if I want X amount of closings, then I need to understand what comes before that. And what becomes before that are the six C's. And it's to get to a closing, you have to have a contract. And then to get into a different types of contracts, there's, you know, buyer representations, listing agreements, and purchase and sales contracts. To even get into those, I have to have consultations. There's multiple different types of consultations I can have. I can have a buyer's consultation. I can have a showing consultation where I'm actually showing the properties, a listing consultation. I can set up consultations with loan officers or a credit repair, depending on where they are in the process to get them into contract. And then from there, in order for me to get into consultations, I have to have contacts. Real estate is a contact sport. And what I mean by contacts is it's a real estate related conversation. And where most real estate agents fail is they're not real estate agents, they're secret agents, meaning they're not having enough contacts out there. And it's usually because they're not confident enough to bring up to the fact that they are a real estate agent, or it just ends with, this is my profession. And then not lastly, but before contacts is conversations. These are not even real estate conversations. This is where, and this is what we're going to talk about, where are we having consultations to then introduce them to the fact that I'm in real estate so I can bring them through the process, and how each one of these steps has its own conversion. And when you start changing your, when you start categorizing your business, you can see the conversions and you can make minor tweaks to then grow your business. So that's five of the six C's of growing your business. And then that all leads to the last one, which is compounding your business. And compounding your business, for the sake of this conversation, would be referrals. It would be managing your money and then multiplying your money, like how you said you want to get in, you are in real estate investing. So I think we're gonna focus more on the conversations and the contacts. Like, how do we get those into consultations and contracts?
Right. Yeah, Alan, I want to focus on it all.
Let's go round two.
Dude, that's right. We can. So I really like how that's laid out, though. You know, everyone says track your numbers, right? But not, you know, if you're told that, sometimes you're like, what does that even mean? But this is very simple. It's like, if you were to track these things, it's how many conversations, you know, how many contacts, consultations, contracts, closings. And, you know, it's very clear. And the thing that I like about that, too, which actually I'll ask you in a second about how you do track these things. But like, when you are having issues, if it's all laid out like that, and if you are tracking these things, it's very clear to see at which point in the puzzle you are having the difficulties. If you're having a bunch of conversations, but you're not having contacts, you're not having meaningful, you know, real estate related conversations, that's where you need to focus on, right?
I'm glad this thing is on, because you totally get it.
Juice! Like a slam dunk! Okay. Love that. And dude, okay, let's go back. You're right. Let's one piece at a time here. We're going to talk about which piece of this do you think would be most fun for us to dig into?
Okay. Well, I think that, for new real estate agents, or even, well, first and foremost, they're all equally as important as the next. And I'm glad that you talked about that, because I not only grew my business this way, but I've been able to scale other people's business this way by, even if they're top producers, focusing on where their conversion is falling off the most, because then I can really focus on three things in each of the categories. And that is skills, systems, and strategies, right? So each category, once we develop what is the skills I need, what are the systems that I need to implement, and what are the strategies, how am I going to implement those things, then we can really start to increase those conversions. But none of them matter if you don't know how to have effective conversations and then mention real estate in those conversations. Because if people don't know you're a real estate agent, then they can't conduct business with you. And I'm going to give you a specific example. I came from the fitness industry, and on the side, I was doing multi-level marketing and I was selling protein shakes. And everybody knew me as Alan Stewart Jr., the fitness guy, because I got on Facebook and social media and was pushing these shakes like crazy. But when I got into real estate, I had to redo my identity completely. And people needed to understand that I am now the real estate professional. But buying a shake and buying a house or an investment property is a much different purchase. There's a lot bigger level of trust that goes here, to the point where my friends and family, they didn't even want to transact with me because they didn't trust that I knew what I was doing. So the two I'd love to focus on in the beginning is really what are those conversations? Where are we having them? And then how do we turn them into contacts?
Okay. Yes, I love it. I accept. Let's go on this journey.
All right. So the first thing, I'm going to share a quick story with you. I remember when I first got licensed and I'm scouring around. Meanwhile, I'm also having my son. And my son was a pleasant surprise, the best thing that ever happened in my life. But he was unexpected. So a lot of fear was in my life. And because I grew up with less than, it was really important for me that I provided a better life for him than what I had. So I had a huge why. I just needed the plan as to how I'm going to get there. So the plan wasn't organized in the beginning. And I just started calling a bunch of people, informing them, hey, this is what I do now. My younger brother got engaged and I called him and said, hey, I'm so excited that you're getting engaged. And the next move is probably to buy a house and then grow your family. And I'm so excited to help you with it. And his response was, absolutely not. And I was just taken back by it.
Not the shake guy. Dude, you sell shakes. You can't sell a house.
Yeah. I'm glad you love that response from him, because I didn't. I was flabbergasted. Aww. I was like, what do you mean, absolutely not? Like, I'm your older brother. How many times have I been there for you? You know, all those nights where you had girl problems, I stay up and talk to you, or what, however I've been there for you. And he said, well, Alan, first of all, you just got into this industry. You've been inconsistent your whole entire life. This is the biggest purchase of my whole entire life. My family depends on me, and I'm not going to trust you with that. And I said, well, name one time I've been inconsistent. And because he had that intimate relationship with me and he knew me as my past me and not the man that I am to become, he rattled off like six or seven times that I may have started something and stopped it. And I couldn't argue with that. And when I got off that phone, I had to reflect and realize, wow, he sees me in one light and I need to change that narrative. And the only way I can change that narrative is to become an authority figure in my space. And what I mean by that is somebody that's worth listening to. Because that conversation happened a couple times with a couple of my friends. So I quickly identified, my friends and family will probably be the last to convert. So I need to add new people to the pipeline. So I need new skills on how do I introduce myself to strangers, win them with captivity, also be an authoritative figure, know what I'm talking about, so that they'll listen to me when it comes to terms of real estate, so I can add them to the funnel and then push them through from one category to the next. And so I can go about how I would do that, yeah, if I was a new agent or experienced agent.
That's exactly, I think a lot, your story resonates with a bunch of people, I'm sure, where they're like, yeah, I know I need to become an authority in my space. Yeah, I know that my friends and family don't necessarily want to trust me right now, but I am committed and I am going to do this. So how do I do it? Where do I start?
I would say the first thing that you want to do is you want to establish a client profile and your ideal client. It doesn't mean that you're putting yourself in a box, but like, who am I going to resonate with the most? I know when I started real estate 8 years ago, I was 30 years old, starting a new chapter in my life. And I was about to become the first time home buyer. And I looked around real estate and I evaluated what everybody else wanted. Everybody else wanted to be $1 million listing agent. So that market was a little saturated. So what did people not want? At the time, the articles were reading that millennials were about to enter the market, first-time home buyers. Nobody wanted to service them because they're usually the least qualified and ask the most questions and the most time consuming. So I identified right then and there that this is my ideal audience. You know, I'm going to be the authority of first-time home buyers. And I created a pitch and I started a Facebook page called Alan Stewart Jr., Not Your Parents' Real Estate Agent. And what I would do is I would just, as I was learning and making mistakes and going on free showings and inspections to my mentor and not getting paid, I would pop up a video and I would just say, my name is Alan Stewart Jr. I'm not your parents' real estate agent. I'm your full-time millennial real estate agent. And I'm here with you to keep it real estate. And then I would just say, you know, home inspections. You want to have a home inspection when it's raining out because rain will tell on a property. And I had a home inspection today and the roof was leaking and we would have never known that if we didn't have it during the rain. Just a little subtle tip.
Alan, yeah. I have a question. Okay. Yeah. So you said, I'm not your parents' real estate agent, and mm-hmm. essentially that you specialize for millennials. Mm-hmm. Someone out there is thinking, but if you specialize in one category, aren't you saying no to all of these other people? Aren't you shutting off the opportunity to all this other business?
I think that's a great question because honestly, I had a lot of seasoned real estate agents at the time telling me the same thing. They're like, you are going way too niche. You are painting yourself into a box. You are not going to be successful. And really what I was trying to do is get a mark, get that out there. And also that's only one stream that I was publicizing myself on. That was a one Facebook page. I wasn't saying that at networking events. I wasn't saying that on prospecting calls because there are other sources that I pulled business from, but that was just the one marketing tactic that I took within that one strategy I took on one platform, so to speak.
Oh, and right? I that was a very leading question. Yeah, I strongly believe in the riches are in the niches, or, you know, the millennial version of like, niche, but I have my money. Okay, I should never say that in recording. But anyway, so I was leading because I wanted to hear your thoughts on it because I also believe in specialization, at least in some mediums like you're talking about.
Well, because honestly, though, it compounded into so many more things because I set myself up as an authority figure and I was giving information. A lot of times I spun that information. If, say, one of my clients' parents or someone, a baby boomer, saw it, and then I would spin it and say, yes, I'm not your parents' real estate agent, which means I know technology better than your average real estate agent. So you probably want to list with not your parents' real estate agent because the sign in front of the house no longer sells the real estate. It is the internet that sells the real estate, and I am your internet agent. So back, I would just spin the narrative.
Back on, yes, so smart, pivot, attack, yes. but you keep saying authority figure. And a lot of people, I'm sure, are like, well, I want to be an authority figure. And how are you doing that? It sounds like you're using video. How else are you declaring yourself as an authority figure within your market?
So video is just a platform. To create myself as an authority figure, now we're talking about the skills, right? I need to have the skills or the content. I need to speak with confidence about my specific industry. And in order to do that, I need to know a lot about it. And if you want to become an authority figure, A, get a mentor and do things for free. Because in the beginning, you're not working for commission, you're working for experience. Because experience gives confidence. A confidence allows you to set yourself as an authority figure. And authority figures convert. And by authority figure, all I mean is somebody that's worth listening to on a certain subject matter. But let's say you don't have a mentor. You have no inspections you can go on. Then go on YouTube. Start learning about the process. Start learning about different types of loan products. Start knowing enough to be dangerous so you can educate people rather than, so when they're talking to you and saying, hey, what do you do for a living? You can say, not stop it. I'm a real estate agent. You could talk about what you do, why you do it, and give some information to trigger them to ask more questions so you can continue to lead them down the funnel.
A quick word on our toolbox. We know it can be overwhelming thinking about all of the systems you want to build into your business, and that is why we ask guests to submit their favorite checklist, template, or tracker so you don't have to build from the ground up. Go to realestaterockstarsnetwork.com and click toolbox for your free access. Thanks so much. Alan, that's so much work. Again, this is another leading thing. So I love what you're saying. And I think it's totally true where it's like, if you don't know how to do something, put in the effort, either work for free, find the mentor, listen to the podcast, go on YouTube, call the top performing agents, and until they finally answer and ask to just exist in their presence so you can listen to how they take phone calls, watch the emails they send, get CC'd on that, you know, and that it is a lot of work, but it is going to produce the type of person that can act as an authority figure within their communications.
Well, yeah. And it is a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. I mean, is it going to be easy? No. But will it be worth it? Yes, if you stick to it. I mean, that's why 90% of the real estate sold by 10% of the realtors, because they understand that real estate's done in 90-day sprints. Everything I do today, I probably won't see results for at least 90 days. And if I'm looking to trade time for dollars, then I probably should go get a W-2 position rather than a 1099 position. And that's why people like you and me and other people, we reinvent ourselves in this space and succeed and have lineage, have all the, that's why we're able to propel ourselves so much quicker and faster than everybody else.
Okay. So at this point we have, you've established your client profile, and I don't even think I let you get off step one.
It wasn't even just millennial buyers. I went as specific as, okay, what is their age group? What is their income? What, choice of job careers. I chose blue collar workers, nurses, and teachers. Where would I find them online and offline? So I started really creating a target. And then, and again, it doesn't mean that I'm stuck with that target, but I really just wanted to hone a message towards that specific target, who I'm most relatable to. Perfect. And then I could keep going from there.
Next step. Yes. I want the next step. Step two.
Awesome. So once you identify your client profile, then we need to identify the sources. Where am I going to find these clients online and offline? Like, where do they hang out? Right. And chances are that client profile, unless you're just new to the area, you probably already have a majority of it in your phone book. So we can take your phone book and start to create it into a database. If you're an existing realtor, we can print out your MLS stats and start highlighting them to establish where you've been successful in the past and start really doubling down on those areas and see did this come from a past client? Did this come from a sphere of influence referral? Did this come from an internet lead? Did this come from an event? So we need to list those sources, the places that we can go to get business. And it's really not that complicated. There's only like a handful of places that anybody gets business. It's just what's most comfortable for you. And I could rattle a bunch of them off if you'd like.
Rattle. You know, right. I'm taking notes over here, Alan.
Oh, you're the best. Oh my God. I think I need you in my life every day. Like, need people to elevate us, right? So some agents are very successful with internet leads. That's what they do, is they buy internet leads and they sit behind a phone and they call. Some people are really good at the phone, but they don't believe in supporting Zillow or realtor.com because they're the enemy. So they call neighborhoods. That's called circle prospecting. And I'm going to name some traditional ones and then some non-traditional ones. Some agents don't circuit prospect, but they call expired and FSBOs. We know with the lack of inventory, it's probably not the best game plan in this market, but some agents are crushing it. Some people compound on top of that, not just call, but then go and door knock those specific targeted sources. Some people just target door knock certain neighborhoods, right? Some people, what they do is they go to events, networking events. And I'd say when you go to a networking event, you don't want to find your client, because your client is the drip, meaning that's one transaction. You want to look for the faucet. And what I mean by that is like divorce attorneys, probate attorneys, contractors, people that can give you business over and over again. Again, you need to understand that you need to be an incredible authority figure to earn the respect where they'll actually give it to you. But that's pretty focused work. Some other sources are past clients. If you've actually closed business, keeping in touch with them, following up with them, setting a templated approach so you can stay in their life, keep reminding them that you're an authority in your space, because it's not their job to remember you. It's your job to remind them. Another source is your sphere of influence. These are people that already know, love, and trust you. You have a whole phone book of those. I can give you apps where you can download your phone book. You can upload it to Google Sheets. We can start to do what I call a yes, maybe, no process, where you can identify who's quality, who's maybe quality, and who's a hard no, and they need to be removed. Input them into your database. Then we start folding into contacts, marketing, mailers, text, calls, inviting them to events. And then I think one that's missed the most is just following your money and following your hobbies. I mean, there are so many opportunities for us to just talk to strangers and to invite them into our lives, or establish if they're worth inviting into our lives, where we can start to make them from conversations to contacts and start mentioning real estate and start bringing them through the funnel process. Wherever you spend money, whether it's at the gym, Starbucks, or anything like that, you know, start getting good at mentioning real estate and developing that conversation. Or wherever you have hobbies, start inviting people, or start going to places where you spend time and start inviting them into your life. And I think that all successful real estate agents do these things. They just don't do it. They don't put words to it and frame it in a narrative where they can actually start to grade it or judge it and say, okay, this one's working, this one's not.
100%. That was year one for me. I openly said that I didn't do any marketing, you know, and then looking back now, it's like, absolutely I did. I just didn't qualify that as it in my brain. Like I started a meetup. I started an event. I talked to everyone. I was all over social, every conversation, just like you said, everyone at CrossFit, every conversation I had ended with, you know, oh, check me out on Instagram. I'm going to follow you. You follow me. And then my Instagram is just a flood of what I'm doing every day, sharing my story with. So it is funny that you say that, because I think that's totally true. The agents who are like, oh, I don't market, I just have all this business. It's like, yes, you are. Just don't even know that you're doing it.
Exactly. They're just not putting words to it, or they're not systemizing it or being strategic or intentional about it. You know, they're just really good at getting it
just
out there.
Talking.
Okay. Which is
Alan,
yeah.
So if I'm, let's say hypothetically, I am, I'm at Starbucks and I know I'm listening to you and I'm like, man, I go to Starbucks every day and I see the same people, but talking to people is hard. I don't even know where to start to have these conversations. What do you say to me?
All right. Awesome. I teach a whole course about conversations. And basically, you know, when you think of a conversation, there's three parts of a conversation. There's commencing a conversation, there's continuing a conversation, then there's completing a conversation. And we want to be good at all three of those, right? So some of the hardest parts of conversations, how do I commence this conversation? How do I start it? How do I make it interesting and I'm impressionable where they want to continue on with it? And a lot of times I just break it down into people, places, and things, like something that's familiar, right? Again, if we just compartmentalize things in our life and we just understand conversation, commence, continue, complete it, right? And a lot of people don't start new conversations because they're insecure about the commencing, the starting of the conversation. So really, we just want to focus on that at first. How do I make an impactful impression where someone wants to continue a conversation with me or continue more conversations with me in the future? And a lot of times is, you know, I have a workflow that I do with it. I call it flow. And this is the process of a conversation. F stands for familiar. What are people, places, and things that we can talk about that are familiar between the both of us in order for me to start a conversation to get it engaging? L stands for lifestyle. These are fun, hobbies, recreational things, the reasons, the things that light us up. If I can get you talking about that, then typically you start enjoying the conversation. O stands for occupation. I ask people not just what they do, but why they do it. And typically when I do that, by the end of that, they start asking me about my profession. And then I don't just go in, I'm a real estate agent. I usually go into something like, well, you know, before I tell you what I do, can I tell you why I do it? Because people want to align with the why. And then the W in the flow is wishes. And wishes, I'm not going to ask you, Shelby, like, what do you wish for in the future? Because then I sound super creepy. But like, wishes that is that opportunity where I'm looking to see where you're going in the future so I could see if I can give you a referral. Because I know if I can align you with someone in your space or help you achieve your goals, then what I'm doing is I'm referring you to a better life. And naturally, you just through the law of reciprocity want to refer me to a better life. And the way you can do that is to help me grow my real estate business so I can fund my my family and things like that. So I'm going to give you a specific example real quick just because
you read mind. Love specific examples.
So when I went to F for familiar and people, places, and things, if I'm at Starbucks and we're in line together and I'm like kind of overlooking the display there, you know, I may look at that and say, oh my goodness, those cookies, they look so good. They remind me of the cookies that I had at my open house last weekend. And not one of them lasted 5 minutes. I swear people would have bought the cookies before the house or something like that. Right. But not even just, that's like me going straight from familiar into occupation almost, which sounds a little forced.
Yeah.
But we do this all the time without even knowing it. I mean, Think about like the old pickup lines, like when a guy walks up to a girl at a bar and he's like, hey, you come here often? All he's doing is using the familiarity of the place to try to start a conversation, you know? And we just need to like look around and be observant and just say, you know, hey, I really love your cardigan. You know, I'm thinking about buying more sweaters. Obviously, I don't wear female sweaters, but like, hey, where do you get that? Because I'm actually looking to upgrade my wardrobe and I really appreciate that. And I'd love a referral for that, right? And we're just starting a conversation about something, a person, place, or a thing to then allow me to continue the conversation.
Real quick, as you likely know, the 2024 Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind is sold out. But if one of your preferred vendors is looking for marketing opportunities, we are looking for sponsors. We would love to get their name and business out to 80 highly motivated real estate agents from across the country. Know someone who'd be interested? Go to realestaterockstarsnetwork.com and shoot us a quick email for more information. Thanks so much. Back to the show. Do you consider, so we're in line on Starbucks and you just, you know, mentioned my sweater or the cookies. So, and now I have my drink and I'm about to go. Do you just bank on the fact that it's a frequency and you're going to see me again tomorrow? Or do you like, oh, wait, what's your, like, can you talk us through a little more?
Yeah, exactly. So what you're asking basically is like, because we're talking about conversations right now and it's like, hey, how do I get into a contact? Like get that person in my funnel pipeline where I can start to convert them. And the way I look at it is we need to be having as many conversations as possible. And it's not always appropriate to mention real estate. So really what I want to do in the beginning is get really good at just conversations in general. And then when I feel like the frequency's aligned or the energy's there or it's appropriate, then I'll try to keep that connection going, getting your contact information or mentioning real estate, because sometimes it's just not appropriate. I mean, for example, like if I'm at your wedding, Shelby, and I'm just like congratulating you, I'm not there to convert you into real estate. I'm not going to say, congratulations. Oh my God, you and so-and-so just got married. Hey, next you're going to buy a house. It's just not appropriate. I'm going to call you a week later and try to get that conversion going. So like, I don't think we need that urgency. I think we just need to get through the place of quantity, having a lot of conversations, and then eventually the quality will follow. It's not always appropriate to try to force a real estate conversation and just being observant and identifying that if I'm at your wedding and you're getting married, I'm there to celebrate your wedding. It is an opportunity time. The next step is logically you're going to buy a house, but it's not appropriate for me to mention it at the wedding.
I feel like that's so hard for a lot of people. It's reading because so in their minds, they're taking notes on what you're saying. You know, I need to step one, commence, step two, continue, step three, complete, or, you know, have X, Y, and Z. And they're so focused on what they're supposed to do next that they can't read the situation. Do you have any tips on being able to read people and identify their social clues as to when it's appropriate or not?
Oh, yeah, 110%. So I do want to say, I'm not trying to overcomplicate it. These are things that we do naturally. We just don't assign language to it, right? Like we all commence, start conversations, continue them and complete them and end them with a call to action or just get out of a conversation that we don't want to be in. It's just kind of understanding where we are in the process. So how do we get better at the social cues? Well, I would say in order to be good at social cues, you need to be resourceful. And an early onset of resourcefulness is just being observant. So you can start to play little games with yourself. For example, if you're out at a restaurant, like and a waiter comes by and then they leave, just try to remember, okay, well, what color tie was that waiter wearing? Or how were they speaking? What was their tone? Or noticing people that you see frequency, do they wear loud shoes a lot? And what we want to do is develop the skill set of becoming observant. Because once you build that skill set, then you can start to pick up those social cues. Some of those skill sets are body language. Like when you speak, your hands are up. That's how I know your frequency is like really live and lit, because your body language is wide open. If you were having a bad day, you would be like this or hunched over, and just pay attention to those things. Pay attention to people's tone, the pace in which they say things, and the volume in which they say things. Those four things, if we observe them, we can pick up on those cues very quickly. Whereas maybe this is a good prospect, but maybe it's not a good time to prospect the person. Does that kind of make sense?
It makes total sense. So nice. At this point, we have established our client profile. We have started to have some conversations by using, you know, the steps you provided, talking about flow, what's familiar, the lifestyle, the occupation, the wishes, and then reading people through being observant. Mm-hmm. What else? I want to make sure we get to a little bit of time at the end to talk about, you know, the becoming more, you know, okay. But what do you have one more thing maybe on this topic before we shift?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, because we don't want to overcomplicate it. I mean, the thing about real estate and any business that you own is you could talk forever. It's always a learning curve. I mean, growth mindset, the most successful real estate agents and business owners are growth mindset, always learning. There's always more to discover. But the last thing I'd say we would talk about, we establish who we want to serve. We establish where we're going to find them and how we're going to approach them. And then simply, we just need to establish a follow-up sequence with them, because the fortune is in the follow-up. I mean, the average real estate sales cycle is over 120 days from when a person says, I think I'm going to list or buy a house, to when they actually do it and then close on it. So that's a large sales cycle. We need to respect that sales cycle with a follow-up sequence. And we can't have a follow-up sequence if we don't have a database or somewhere that we input all the information in and we kind of track them. And what I mean by tracking them, every agent almost says this and it sounds super complicated, but really what all it is, you know, we just need a status, like where are they at in the process? We need to take notes on the conversations we're having. So that way, when we do follow up, we're reminding them of the last conversation we had. Because Shelby, if I talk to you and I haven't talked to you in 3 months, and you're a cold lead, and I just say, hey, I'm a real estate agent in Fairfield, Connecticut. We spoke 3 months ago. It's not as powerful if I say, hey, Shelby, it's me, Alan Stewart Jr. I don't know if you remember me. I'm a real estate agent that we spoke to 3 months ago. We were talking about your 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house in Stratford, Connecticut, and you really wanted to move with an enclosed backyard because you have all those furry friends, meaning your dogs, and you needed more space from New York. Now, I'm just reminding you that you talked to me because it's way more intimate, but I can't do that without a database. And then the only third component of a database is a task reminder, like the thing that's reminding me when it's appropriate to follow up with you. And we don't need this just for prospecting. For example, if going back to the, I don't know why I keep going back to you getting married, but if you told me that you're getting married next May, you better believe that's going in my notes in my task reminders for May 1st. Because even if I'm not going to the wedding, I'm going to call you. Or let's say your father told me and I have a relationship with your father, I'm going to call him and say, hey, I just want to let you know, I remembered Shelby's getting married, your only daughter. Hey, I hope you have a great month leading up to it. I'll talk to you later.
That dude, one. It's going to be so awkward when he's like, nah, they called it off.
Yeah. Right. Well,
just kidding.
But sometimes you got to be willing to have those awkward conversations. I mean,
yeah. Oh no, dude. I'm just giving you crap.
No, I know. I've actually had those weird conversations too.
Like, really? And they're like, dude, I'm so happy you remembered. You can still sell my house.
Exactly. Right?
Okay. Question real quick. What database do you and your agents use?
Okay.
What's awesome. CRM?
So I've gone through quite a few of them. You know, I currently use KV Core. I usually say that we are exploring different ones because it is a little more complicated and sophisticated than most people need. I just think you use the database that whatever one you will use, as long as it has notes, task reminders, and status changes, it's good enough. You know, it really doesn't need to be much more than that.
Totally. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your book that's coming out in May of 2024-ish, your birthday month, you know, putting that in my CRM with my notes and my reminder to follow up and say happy birthday. See what I did there?
If you call me on my birthday month, oh my God, it'll blow my mind.
Well, now I have to do it.
I'm the professional.
Damn right. Okay. Well, tell me about the book. What's in it? Why should we care?
All right. Awesome. So the book is called Becoming More, and what it more stands for is Master of Real Estate. And really what it is there's a lot of real estate books out there, but none of them give you specific details on how to start this journey and continue it and grow it. And I'm going to give step-by-step instructions based on the categories that I went over, you know, which is conversations to contacts to consultations to contracts to closings to compounding your business. And I'm going to show the evolution and what skills, strategies, and systems that you can implement as a new agent or a seasoned agent to get this ball rolling and get it rolling quickly so that way you can surpass your goals.
And I know that to be true. It must be true because of how many acronyms and how many step-by-steps that you've already used, which, by the way, speaks to my heart so much. I'm big on systems, on documenting the process and committing it to paper. So love all of that. Okay. And that's May of 2024. They can be on the lookout. In between now and then, where are you going to events? Where can people get more of you?
Yeah, that's great. So I go to a ton of other people's events. I'm actually a Tony Robbins Platinum member. I've done everything from meeting, Grant Cardone to Les Brown and all these people. I believe that if you can't have a mentor or find one, pay for one and take out that credit card and do it. But, I throw a lot of events in Connecticut, but really, honestly, if this is a national podcast, just follow me online at Alan Stewart Jr. And on any platform, it's the same handle on any platform. And I'm constantly putting out, some of the things are just fun and spontaneous, but some of them are specific and how to grow your business.
Okay, perfect. And we will link your Instagram and any other things that you want to share. All of them will be linked, but hit us with everything we need to know about you or where you want us to go, if it's other than Instagram.
I mean, I would just love to engage with people. I love the collaboration mindset. That's why I wanted to do this with you. I just like learning. I like feeding. I believe in the law of reciprocity. The more I give is the more I get. The more referrals I give, the more referrals I get. You know, once I'm around like-minded people. So if you follow me and you DM me, I will get back to you as soon as possible. And I just love to collaborate and figure things out. And maybe we'll go to the same event in Texas and end up seeing each other, be online communicating for 3 years, and then finally meet each other in person. I've done that several times. That's exciting. And then lastly, if you go into my Instagrams and go to my link trees, we're constantly putting up new resources or constantly just putting up, different things, good causes that we're trying to drive traffic to, something like that. So I'll give you a link to pre-order the book as well. That'd be amazing.
Yes. And we will include that in the show notes. Everyone go check it out to pre-order his book, Becoming More. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Becoming More, everyone. Okay. Alan, one more question. This is not a normal wrap-up question, but I'm just curious. What's like the coolest thing that you've learned recently where you're like, whoa, I didn't know that. Or, ooh, I'm going to implement that into my life or business.
Yeah. So what I learned recently in having a conversation with a loan officer is that you used to be able to buy a multifamily house with 5% down and be an owner occupant. And then it changed to 15% when they started pumping a lot of money into the economy. It's now back down to 5%. So I learned that recently and I took that message to my database and it got quite a few people. That's not like too profound. It's just kind of like,
that is interesting. It's weird to me. So I worked with a lot of military people. So in my head, multifamilies are 0% down. You can buy up to 4 units with the VA loan or even with FHA. Can't you do multifamily with 3.5?
I think they actually increased it even to 15%.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's okay. Dude. Yeah. Teaching me things.
Yeah, you could with an FHA loan. I believe it was 1 to 2 units. You can do 3.5%, but as soon as you got to 3 to 4 units, it went up to 15%. I believe for a couple of years. But the important thing is not what we learned, because knowledge is empowered. It's application of knowledge is power. Yes. It's taking that information and distributing it. That's why I appreciate you and Aaron, because you're taking information and you're disseminating it, and because then people can receive it and then apply it. Right.
Well, I think it's really smart too that you, and that's a note that listeners should take away, where it's like, if you learn something, instead of, just share it with your team, of course, but it's also an opportunity for you to continue the authority figure persona that you're building in your brand by sharing it with your database, by doing a video and sharing it with your socials and X, Y, and Z. So it's, you take one piece of knowledge and then you like slice it and you put it into a million places to, all the things.
I agree. Yeah, I always tell people knowledge is in power. It's application of knowledge. I could teach you how to rewire this room, but until you actually do it, there will be no light. So it's just like you know, go on YouTube, learn things, but then take it and go have a conversation about it. Try to put it out in the world and apply it.
Totally. Love it. One last thing and then we're done. Any last little nugget of information you'd like to give to agents out there who are struggling with what you really excel at, which is that communication? I mean, you excel at all of it, but the stuff we talked about today.
I think that the last piece of information that I'd give people is a lot of people don't excel in the beginning because they have reluctance, meaning they have call reluctance. And that's just natural. When you get into anything new, you're not going to be good at it. And you're going to be reluctant to do it in general, but also do it in front of other people. And unfortunately, when you're trying to grow a business, specifically a sales business, you are putting yourself out there. So just know that you're not alone with that and that you really just want to focus mainly on the skills in the beginning and the mindset, and that reluctance will subside. And the more it subsides, the more willing you are to put yourself out there, and your business will grow. And surround yourself by a supportive team or individuals or a safe space where you guys are doing that together.
You heard it from him, guys. Go and follow Alan on Instagram at Alan Stewart Jr. Go to the show notes and pre-order his book. And guys, if you want to hang out with me and the owner of the show, we are The Shelby Show and Aaron Amuchastegui on the gram. Hit us with feedback. We want to know how we can improve. We want to know what subjects you want to deep dive, and we want to make the show as great as possible now and into the future. So guys, that is all we have today. Alan, thank you so much for coming on the show, and Real Estate Rockstars, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.